Hey, yo, listen, it's going down just like this.
Spread the word and let your voice be heard. It's Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
Mercy, 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 m Just know, we are blessed and highly favored. Good morning and welcome to today's edition of Praise in the City. Here on Praise 103.9 FM, I'm Tiffany Bacon. Thank you so much for joining me. We're going to keep the inspirations going for just a second, but I wanted to introduce our topic this morning and definitely get you on the phones with your thoughts on our education system today. We are focusing on dropout prevention. Let me get it together. We are focusing on school dropout prevention. My opening question to you, my listening audience, is what do you think we can do to prevent school dropouts? What do you think we can do to prevent it? What needs to be done? We're going to have two special guests in studio to talk about what their organizations are doing. But what do you think really needs to happen to prevent kids from dropping out of school? That's our opening question. Love to hear your answer. 215-263-1039. 215-263-1039. We're going to keep the moment of inspiration going for just one more second. Won't he make you only do it. We are Praise in the City on Praise 103.9 FM. Today's topic is about dropout school, dropout prevention. My opening question to you, my listening audience, before we even start our discussion with our guests this morning, is what do you think should be, can be done to prevent youth from dropping out of school? What do you think would work? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. We have two representatives of organizations that are working on dropout prevention. We're going to hear what they're doing, and you can feel free to ask them questions as well. The phone number is 215-263-1039. And again, my name is Tiffany Bacon. I am your host for this program. So I'd like to welcome to the program for the first time, we have Nine Sellers, who is the Director of Communities and Schools of Philadelphia, and Janice Ray, the Project and Marketing Coordinator for Communities and Schools of Delaware. Good morning, ladies, and welcome.
Good morning.
All right, we're going to make sure you get your mics on and up and nice and loud. Okay, good morning. Let's try that again.
Good morning. Good morning.
There we go. I can hear you now. Yay. All right, ladies, thank you so much for joining us this morning on the program. Let's just start with a general overview of what communities in schools is. I know you guys are working two different branches from two different states, but just give an overview of what communities in schools is.
Well, Communities in Schools is a national nonprofit organization, and our mission and really the reason why we come to work is to surround our students with a community of support so they can stay in school and achieve in life. Okay. So that mission can happen in a variety of ways, whether it's comprehensive high schools, alternative high schools, middle schools, elementary schools. Mm-hmm. Communities in Schools is actually in 25 states. So this is a national, we are a national organization that works to support young people. So if there is a challenge in their life, the goal of, you know, folks that work for Communities in Schools of anywhere, Communities in Schools anywhere, is to make sure that whatever the obstacle is, it does not prevent that young person from finishing their education.
Now, ladies, what would you say are some of the main obstacles that are in the way of a young person completing their education?
I believe that there's so many different risk factors that students face. It can be anything from a high school student who is in a household with no one else who has graduated from high school. It could be someone who receives free or reduced lunch. A student who comes from a single parent household, a student who has a learning disability, a student who last week the lights were cut off. There are so many different things that could be identified as risk factors for students. So it's not necessarily one thing or one category that loops kids in and then you think, oh, well, this child is at risk for dropping out. Mm-hmm. But regardless of neighborhood, regardless of things like that, like there are so many different things that are identified through communities and schools as they do entrance interviews and things like that. There are so many things that are identified that we look for and that we try to support the students with. So, for example, with students who receive free or reduced lunch, we help out through things like backpack programs, which in Delaware we're partnered with the Food Bank of Delaware. And students who receive those services in school during the weekend, the food bank provides them with a backpack, 100% just a book bag with food in it that helps them get through the weekend where they aren't able to get lunch. So things like that, small things that you wouldn't necessarily think of, prevent students from being able to focus in school. We try to make sure that those things are eliminated, or to the best of our ability, those things are provided for them so that they can focus on the academic side of school.
What would you say is the main difference in the challenges for youth in Delaware versus the challenges for youth in Pennsylvania?
Oh, please let me speak to that. I say that because I worked for Communities and Schools of Delaware for 10 years prior to coming to Philadelphia. So I've been both in Delaware and in Philadelphia. And I think that the greatest challenges.
Or some of the biggest, yeah.
I think that certainly for me in my experience, the students that we serve in Philadelphia, they certainly they're working with some extraordinary challenges where I found that, 10 years in Delaware, the students, most of the time, they were not coming to school saying they did not have a place to live. Where I find in Philadelphia,
that's okay.
On a daily basis, we have a high incidence of students, not all, but a lot of students that, you know, are dealing with homelessness, they're dealing with physical abuse, they're dealing with partner abuse, you know, when they're in high school. They're dealing with not just not having food, sometimes it's clothing, sometimes it's uniforms. And so I feel like a lot of times the students in Delaware, they have, because of it's a smaller community, there's a lot more intensive supports, but we partner with the School District of Philadelphia. I mean, we know we always partner with the schools, but I think that some of those are more on a larger scale in Philadelphia rather than in Delaware. Although the students in Delaware are still, you know, they're still benefiting from the supports of communities and schools.
And I just want to add to that, being I was born and raised in Philly and I went to high school in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And I do feel as if in Philly, there's a larger scale of the things that happen. But I definitely will say that in Delaware, there are so many instances that for me, I was shocked. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, growing up in Philly, I just drove through Delaware, never really spent a lot of time there. But now since living and working there, I see so many things that students do face. And I think even more so, I work in the Wilmington affiliate, the increase of violence and things like that, that students face. It's really hard. It's not that separated from students. Either things are happening in their neighborhoods, on their streets, or a family member is involved in those crimes. So I think that's a completely different area that we're now having to deal with head on. It's not something that you can avoid. It's not something that you can kind of twiddle your fingers with. You have to deal with it head on. So I think that they're similar, but a lot smaller, I guess.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Praise in the City on Praise 103.9 FM. We are talking about the issue of school dropouts. We have two ladies here representing communities in schools at various branches, one branch in Philadelphia, one branch in Wilmington, Delaware, and we're talking about dropout prevention. My opening question to you, the audience, is what do you think should be done to prevent youth from dropping out of school? What are your thoughts? Also, if you have any questions for our guests, please feel free to give us a call while they're here, because they're only here for a little while. So give us a call, 215-263-1039. Let's speak with Franz, who is calling in from the Philadelphia area on line one. Franz, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Awesome sauce. Okay. What's your thought process on this here?
Well, I'm a senior in college. I'm getting ready to graduate.
Awesome.
In 2 weeks. For me, I mean, one of the things that kept me in school was, to me, it starts at home. Mm-hmm. I think the environment that you're in, the parents, I think, have to set a standard, not forcing the student, but encouraging them. I think sometimes the parent wants to live their life through the student, and they're making them go to school and doing something they're not passionate about. So I think, you know, at home, they got to find, the student has to find something they're passionate about, and the parent has to support them, no matter what their opinion or what they're passionate about is.
Oh, okay. So are you talking about advanced degrees, or are you talking about high school? Because, you know, if you talk about high school, they got to go.
They better go. I mean, even with high school.
You have to go.
I think with high school, as far as high school, you just got to put yourself in the right environment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you place yourself around the right people and the right environment, you're going to have a positive outcome. So, you know, even with the parents, I think they're still standard. They, you know, they have to try their best to actually get involved in the student's life.
Okay. Oh, okay. So being more conscious about what is going on with their child.
Definitely. Gotcha. A lot of parents in high school, they really don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, when a student drops out, they're so shocked what happened. So I think they have to be more involved in child's life when it comes to high school, instead of, hey, did you get an A, you know, in this class, you know, or are you passing these tests?
Right. All right. Good good comment. Ladies, do you have any response to Franz?
I just want to say congratulations on your upcoming graduation. I think that's a very big milestone. And I do agree with you. But I also think that a lot of times parents, especially single parents, they feel as if it's hard to balance what to do first, be a provider or to be a supportive parent. And I do have to say that it takes a team effort to be able to connect with with communities and schools. We have site coordinators and things like that. It takes an effort to be able, in ways that you can't necessarily provide as a parent or support your student as a parent, to make sure that you expose them to other people who could support them. I know for myself, when I was in high school in Philly, my mom made sure that I was involved in after school and extracurricular activities, and a lot of ways where she couldn't be there, there were a lot of people who mentored me and did help me. So I think going along with what you said, I 100% agree, but I think sometimes for the parents who can't necessarily devote so much time, just being able to link their students or their children with other people who can.
Right.
Yes, Nine would like to address you as well.
I just wanted to add that, you know, for all of us, you know, all of the research tells us, it leads us, indicates that, you know, dropping out of school does not start in high school. It ends there. It really starts off When you look at the, you know, the history of a lot of the students or mm-hmm. a lot of the young people who drop out, it really starts in the second grade. In the third grade, their discipline problems. I mean, when I there are times now when I'm working with a student who might be 19 or 20 years old,
mm-hmm.
they may or may not have been in school. This mm-hmm. is at the Performance Learning Center in Southwest Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
They may have been out of school for 4 years. Like they're between 15 and 19 years old. When I look at their academic record and I look through their transcripts, in the second grade, they missed 45 days of school. In the fifth grade, they missed 60 or 70 days of school.
Wow.
Now, there are a lot of other interventions and wraparound services that have tried to apply to the lives of these young people.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time they're 14 or 15 years old, they've missed so much school and they've been suspended that, yeah, it seems like a logical solution to drop out because it's really been a continuation of trouble, you know.
Right.
And so what we try to do or what, you know, Communities and Schools, what our mission is to say, here was an error. Here's something that didn't work, but now it can. And so through the exposure of things like a college tour, maybe if you are a single parent or maybe if there are two working, you know, parents in the home,
mm-hmm.
maybe they can't afford to, you know, take students away to Morgan State University or mm-hmm. Delaware State University. You know, we're doing college tours where, you know, there are cultural events around the city. But these are all things just one for exposure, but two to say education
mm-hmm.
is really it's more than just the classroom.
Right.
It's more than
it's
classroom.
An overall experience.
It's
good stuff. Franz, thank you so much for your comments and thank you for your phone call this morning.
No problem.
All right. You have a great day. All right. Let's go to Calvin calling in from the Philadelphia area. Calvin, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. I'm listening because my wife used to work for Communities in School.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we noticed that if children are hanging out with the wrong group of people, you know, you don't expect them to make it past high school.
Mm.
If they're hanging out with a good group of kids, if the kid is involved with things after school or they're looking to find a job after school, something like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, they'll find a way to want to make it past high school, regardless of the clothes they may wear or regardless of the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll forge through it.
Mm-hmm.
But if the parent is not involved and does not care about who their children are hanging out with, most of these kids won't because, you know, Philadelphia has always been a place where even as when I came up, if you hung out with the gang,
mm-hmm.
don't expect to graduate, you know, because
mm-hmm.
the gang's not trying to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hung out with people or you tried to make yourself different, separate from the gang, you had a more than a 50% chance of coming through high school.
Okay. Good points. Ladies, do you want to speak to that?
I agree. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Calvin. Thank you for your call. I think that the one thing that I've noticed, and I haven't been doing it forever, I have been with Communities and Schools of both in Delaware and Philadelphia for 14 years, and I have come across a lot of different parents. I think sometimes I've yet to meet a parent who said that they don't care. I know that a lot of parents... Maybe they may not have resources.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when I've met parents who started off as young parents themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they weren't necessarily, maybe they didn't have the support in order to support their young people. Like
mm-hmm.
maybe they were still trying to figure things out, before, you know, and then they had children. And so I think that parents always care. I've yet to meet a parent who said they don't care. I mean, sometimes they say I don't care, but I think what they're really saying is I'm really frustrated
mm-hmm.
and I don't know how to, you know, deal with the pressure
right.
of my child's friends because, you know, at a certain age psychologically
right.
their friends, peer pressure has more they have more of an influence on mm-hmm. them than, you know, parents and teachers and clergy, you know,
mm-hmm.
other folks that are trying to support them. So I definitely, but I hear from the students all the time that, you know, when they're ready to change their life, they must change, you know, their company. They must
mm-hmm.
change the company that they keep because they say, otherwise we're trying to find the right way to do the wrong thing is
mm-hmm.
what they say. And
mm-hmm.
so when they, you know, find themselves connected with other young people who are like, yeah, we may have dropped out of school, we may have missed school, we may have started our family early.
Yeah.
You know, we have several students who started having children at 13 and then another one at 15 and then another one at 17. Mm-hmm. And then it's difficult to go to school. And then when they finally come back, you know, communities and schools around the country and other organizations are there to say, we are here to support you. We will broker services. You might need childcare. You mm-hmm. might need housing. You might need a home. Mm-hmm. You may need access to that. And that's what communities and schools around the country, we will broker services to support this young person. And we find them in schools.
All right. Good stuff. Calvin, thank you so much for calling in and for sharing.
You know, if mm-hmm. I may say, and I heard her speak about the term peer pressure. You know, I believe if a parent express or explain to their children what peer pressure really is, they can overcome that, because I've taught my kids when they were coming up. Now, my kids are grown. All three of my kids did finish high school. They were forced with they had to deal with the peer pressure, you know, of coming up as teenagers, especially my daughter. But I stayed so much involved in who they hung around with. I did not allow them to hang around somebody that I thought wasn't, you know, right for them. I explained to them that peer pressure was something that they've been wanting to do but afraid to do it because they're afraid what their parents are going to say. But mm-hmm. so they go out and they hang out with a group of people that will do what they want to do, therefore they are enticed to go and do it.
Okay, so, hold on 1 second. Sir, we have Johnny's who wanted to say something to one of your points. I just didn't want her to forget it.
I just want to say I definitely do want to commend you on the way that you raise your daughters. But I think even for, you know, myself, being able to see just how different today students face different challenges, I think you could live in a neighborhood and go to school with a certain group of kids and then enter into social media and have a whole different aspect of friends who you are connected to. You could be an angel at school or an angel at home and then a cyber bully. You could be popular in school and then be bullied yourself. I think, you know, even when I was in high school, I graduated from high school in 2005, and I think about how today's kids, they have so much more that they deal with, just with Facebook and Twitter and all these things, and it's right at their fingertips. That's the thing that I think, that's a dynamic that I think wasn't necessarily a factor in the past. And I think for parents to have to think about who their student is involved with in school and who their student is involved with in the neighborhood, and now even who they're talking to on phones, it is a lot. But I do believe that that's where, again, the system of support comes in, because you have a parent, you have a teacher, you have a site coordinator, and then sometimes even an adult mentor who these students are talking to, and then working together to try to explain to them what peer pressure is, or the effects of bullying and different things like that, and to ultimately present them with the information. But we do have to understand that teens and students are students, and they will go through these things. But as you were saying, and to your point, I think that they don't forget, and even what Nine was saying, they don't forget about the people who cared about them and even the things that was taught to them. I think as time goes on, they'll learn, but the goal is to provide them with the support.
All right, Calvin, thank you so much for your comments, and thank you for listening to the program this morning.
You're welcome.
All right, take care. If you're just tuning in, it's Praise in the City on Praise 103.9 FM. We are talking about dropout prevention. What can we do? What needs to be done to keep our youth from dropping out of school? We have two ladies here representing communities and schools, and they are talking about what their organizations are doing. But I want to hear from you. What do you think should be done? What can be done? What do you suggest to help youth stay in school? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. Sarah, I see you're on the line. Please don't hang up. We're going to take a brief break, but we will return with more conversation after this.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station. Now back to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
And very good morning to you. Welcome back. We're in the second half of our program for today. We're talking about preventing school dropouts, and I would love to know your thoughts on it. What do you think should be done? What can be done to prevent youth from dropping out of school? In studio, we have Nine Sellers, the Director of Communities and Schools in Philadelphia, and Janice Ray, the Project and Marketing Coordinator for Communities in Schools of Delaware. We are taking your phone calls at 215-263-1039. Going back to the phone, we have Miss Sarah calling in from North Philadelphia. Miss Sarah, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning to you, Tiffany, and your guests. And first of all, we're going to give the Lord, we're going to say good morning to the Lord for allowing us to be here. We give him the praise for this program.
Amen.
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 And I was just listening to some of the callers. You know, they point their finger at parents, but you can't point your finger at parents all the time, because you got parents that working, they do their best for their kids, and, you know, jobs and things is hard now. You got some children get up in the morning, believe it or not, I know this for a fact, don't have food and stuff to eat the way they want, and you got a lot of mothers working today where there's no father, and this mother is struggling trying to put these kids in school. Then when they get to school, the school done took out the arts. Some kids don't have arts, they don't have music, they don't have gym and stuff the way they used to be, and you got one teacher, maybe got 30 kids in one class, and she trying to do what she could do, and the children that, then you got a lot of bully in school where kids just pick with kids for no reason. You don't have to do nothing. So then, but I thank God for where my granddaughter goes to school at, if I'm allowed to mention the school, Wilmy Kelly, they got a principal there, Miss Brown. She take time with those kids out there. She plays sports with those kids. She loves those children. She go belong being a principal. And and then when they took prayer out of school, see, when you take God out of anything you do, Satan walk in and the devil is real. But we got to pray for our children. The children get out of school, they don't have nowhere to go. They're hanging on the corner and stuff. Mom at work, don't know where dad at. Then you got some good father raising their kids. So I don't point the fork at no parents. My daughter raised three children by herself. One is a police officer, one in community college, and she struggled, but she worked. She did all she could. She would bend her back and wash their clothes. She didn't have a lot, but prayer, she kept on praying, and her children did right. But I thank you, Ms. Tiffany, for your program. I thank you for your guests. But, you know, we got to come together as people. We talk about things, but we got to do what we talk about. And, you know, children need help. There's a lot of kids.
Amen on that.
We don't know what they're going through with. Got to sit down and talk to the kids. A lot of kids can a lot of stuff on their mind.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate your comments, Ms. Sarah.
Yes, and Timothy, God bless you. I listen to you all the time. I just thank the Lord for this program, because 103, I can see y'all always there, always give a message to help somebody. Keep on, keep on. And your guests, y'all do what you do for our kids, but most of all, pray for them.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ms. Sarah. You have a beautiful day.
Thank you.
All right, now. Bye-bye. I think we have Arletha. Arletha is on line 2 from New Jersey. Arletha, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Tiffany. First of all, giving honor to God.
Amen.
I thank him for the day. My comment is, now I want to just thank the young lady that responded to Calvin, because she couldn't have said it any better than I would have said it about the peer pressure thing. I feel that parents really need to, I'm a single parent. Parents really need to take an active part in their child's education. I made lifestyle changes so that I could be closer to home to support my children. I mean, I had a job in Philadelphia. I moved closer to home so that I could be at the school, so that if something happened, I could be there.
Yeah.
I wanted the school to know that I'm not just sending my kids to school for you to babysit.
Right.
I expect them to get an education. And whatever I need to do for them to get a good education, I've got to do that. And that's exactly what I did. And my kids turned out pretty good. I mean, they had peer pressure. I mean, somebody threatened to beat my daughter up on graduation. I told the baby, you're already there. You're already there. Don't waste your time. You know what you are. They can call me names all day, but you're graduating and she's not. So just keep up the faith, keep the hope, and parents need to. I don't care what their circumstances are. My circumstances weren't always that great. But you've got to take an active part in your child's education, or it's not going to happen.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much. I appreciate your passion, and I appreciate your phone call for sure.
Well, thank you so much, Tiffany. You have a great day.
All right. You do the same.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. Don't forget our phone number is 215-263-1039. That's what you need to dial to be a part of today's conversation. 215-263-1039. Ladies, before we get back to the phones, we've heard several comments about parents. And the fact of the matter is there are a great number of parents who are not attending the parent-teachers conferences, who are not really aware from the teacher's perspective what's going on with their child in the classroom. What do you say? What would you say to those parents who do not show up? And the reason is not, I can't get off work.
For me,
If the reason is, I'm sorry, what would you say to the one that constantly can't get off work?
I respect that. I really do. I work with, you know, in Southwest Philadelphia, we work with a lot of young people that say, don't call my parents. They will not come. That's the reason why I'm not at whatever it is, the other school, because I was required to have a parent conference and they didn't come in. And when I say this happens at least, I have 10 to 15 students every year that I'm dealing with this. What would I say to those parents? I would say, I think I probably wouldn't give a blanket prescription, because I think the circumstances are always different. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've learned is that having a conversation with a parent from a school, so we're an alternative school, and what I usually say is, what is it that we can do to support your child? And what I find a lot of times is they'll say is, one, I may not have finished school myself. I've had a lot of parents who didn't earn their own high school diploma or their own GED.
Okay.
They may not have had positive experiences in school themselves. They may have had challenges or obstacles themselves. Mm-hmm. There are other times when, you know, for whatever various circumstances, their children aren't living with them. But when I do have an opportunity to get them on the phone, my conversation with the parents is, let's come together and do something, because I can tell you're frustrated. I'm a parent. What can we do? Because I know you love your child and you want them to do the right thing. There are some struggles, but I think sometimes there are times when parents, they have their own obstacles. They may have dropped out themselves. Maybe the community, maybe the stressors of, you know, work or economic pressures prevent them from being able to do what they want to do. But what I always try to do is say, we are a partner in this. We are a partner in your child's life. And I think there are many experiences in other school experiences where they didn't have that. They had people who were yelling at them or treating them like, you don't care about your kid, or you're not a good parent because your child isn't doing what you should do. And that turns parents off. So by the time they get to high school, they already feel like, oh, yeah, I already know what they're going to say. They're going to say, I'm a bad mom and I don't want them to do that. And so I say to parents, this is your child or your grandchild or your niece or your nephew or your cousin, or whomever it is that you love, that you're caring for, and go for it. Because your rights, this is the rights that we have in the United States. Your child has the right and access to a free and good quality education. You should never feel ashamed or embarrassed. Don't go in yelling at people either. But, you know, come into the school and say, this is what I want for my young person, because someone there must serve you. We are here to serve our students and their families.
All right, good stuff. Did you want to add something?
Yes, I just wanted to say that to parents, I cannot stress enough that we are a team. And I think a lot of times parents feel attacked or they feel as if they're being criticized. But I think the biggest thing that I want parents to understand is that it's a team. And the mission of communities is to surround students with a system of support. And I think identifying us as a resource, identifying the teachers and the site staff and the many different people who are in your students or your child's life, and realizing that this is a team and we all love and care about this child and we want them to be able to succeed. And I think ultimately, what I will say about educators or those of the people who have called in and, you know, have talked about how they've raised their children and they've done such a great job. Organizations like Communities and Schools, we love people like you, because we need those people to sign up to be mentors. One of the things that we believe in is that every child deserves a caring relationship with a one-on-one relationship with a caring adult. And I think that that's the great thing about being able to see the things that you've experienced as a parent or even as an educator, and to be able to help some of the younger parents or some of the parents who feel insecure with. I think that, you know, being able to sign up and to say, hey, I would like to mentor, I would like to be able to help out not only with this child, but with the parent or with the teacher, that also helps to reduce risk factors. So if anyone would like to do that, I'm sure that Nine is down for it, but we would love to have some mentors sign up, and you can visit the Communities and Schools website, www.communitiesandschools.org, I believe, and you could find either the Philly or Delaware affiliate and find out how to sign up. And that would be a great start in helping some of the parents and the students achieve. So
make the village happen. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's take a few more calls before we close. We have Cordell calling in from Lafayette Hills. Cordell, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hello,
Cordell.
No, this is Beverly from Philadelphia.
Oh, sorry. Hi, Beverly. Good morning. Sorry about that.
That's all right. That's all right.
All right. What's your comment?
My comment is that we need more parent involvement instead of being in denial and trying to put the blame on someone else. You have to take a responsibility for what's going on in your household.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they leave the house to go to school, they do be one way. They come home, they're still another way. So we don't know what's going on in the household. But I know for myself, my daughter is now 28, but when she was 16, I remember coming downstairs and seeing a pocketbook on the table. So I opened it up, and I saw a wallet that wasn't hers. So I called her. I called the cops. And I pressed charges on her. I've been right there, and the judge told me, she said, we have more mothers that make their children accountable for what they're doing. One thing I told my daughter is, you are going to be responsible for your actions. If you do something, you got to pay it. The other part of that is all this social media, all this stuff, we turned our head to it. We ignored it. We left from babysitting our children. They have sites they get into to do all kind of things, and now it's like we've lost so many, but we can still say what's still there. Those that are coming to school, if you have more involvement with the parents, with the teachers, even with the churches, the child doesn't feel hopeless. It's like they're on their own. Some children are raising themselves because the parents are here doing their own thing.
That's kind of true. That's true.
So
thank you so
I think
much.
If we get more involvement from the parents to be an advocate and find out what's going on, if your child, you know the behavior has changed, something going on. If a child who was outgoing and friendly all of a sudden is withdrawn and in their room, something's not right.
Right. Beverly, thank you so much for your comments, and definitely thank you for listening to the program this morning.
You're welcome.
All right. You have an awesome day.
You too.
All right. Let's go to Mrs. Ogden out of Pennsylvania. Mrs. Ogden, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. I'm a 64-year-old lady that has been abused by a parent who raised me of an aunt and uncle. I was labeled retarded, and my mother, who raised me, put me in special ed. I was cross-eyed, and I was told that I needed attention with my eyes. And after that, the lady who raised me said, listen, I'm not going to put you there in special ed, and you'll be there for the rest of your life. And at this time, I am suffering. I'm married now, but I do suffer in those areas. And I thank God for keeping me alive through all the things that happened to me. I married the first time in life. My husband and I divorced.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Ogden. I'm so sorry, Mrs. Ogden, real quick, just because we're really running low on time. We only have a few minutes left in the program. Do you have a comment that's specifically to school dropping out?
I think for the ladies that are there this morning, just quickly, more attention to go into the homes like social workers and sit down and take time with the children that are lacking right now.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much for your comment, Mrs. Ogden. God
bless you.
Take care. Let's go to Unique calling in from Northeast Philadelphia. Unique, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hey, good morning. I think parents should actually get more involved in what's going on inside the classroom, what's going on inside the school. So by the time they come home and they could, they need a little bit of extra help, they could be there instead of trying to be so much of a good friend more than the parent. Because I graduated 2011, and what I noticed from what happened to me, from what I seen, what's going on with my friends, like parents, they want to be more friends than students, more friends than parents.
Oh wow.
And like that they actually get lost in the situation and don't want to help.
Okay.
So, I mean,
do you know, briefly, do you know if those friends of yours, if their parents are younger?
I'm not going to say all parents, but some parents, like, young, and some of my friends, their parents are doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like for me, for example, when I was in high school, I come home, I need help on a certain problem, I go to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be like, oh, Lord, I was doing this type of work when I was in college. Y'all doing this now?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, oh, Lord, I'm stuck. I don't know if I got to go for extra credit or stay after late inside of school. Because my mom, she didn't actually want to get more involved in what was actually going on inside my class and what's actually going on inside of school. Like, what's actually going on. So I would just go to school and come back and don't have no help.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I'm not going to say she's a bad parent, but I mean, she did her thing as a single parent.
Okay, real quick, sir, I know we have someone who wanted to address you real quick before we go.
Unique, I just wanted to say, you know, you bring up a really, really good point in saying that, you know, you would go to your mother for a, you know, for answers to a problem, and she was saying, you know, I may not be able to do this, or I did this in college, or things like that. And so I think that is that, you know, parenting is a very, 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 very challenging job. And so that, may, you know, your mother may have said, I went to college, but for those parents who didn't go to college, maybe they may not know how to, you know, be involved. But let me ask you, did you know any young people that dropped out?
Yeah, I know a couple of my friends dropped out. A lot of my friends dropped out.
Do you think it was because they weren't able to, you know, connect with their parents with academics, or you think it was too much of, you know, there was too much friendly, as you quote unquote call it, friendship as opposed to parenting?
Yeah, that's exactly what, a lot of my friends, they'll come home, then they had a type of friendship with their parents that they could actually sit back and actually smoke with their parents.
Right.
And I'm looking like, I have a 9-month-old daughter myself, and that's something I would never do with my child. I want to know everything that's going on, everything that's going on inside school. If I could be in class with her, I would do that.
In fact,
I could help her.
All right. Unique, thank you so much for bringing that perspective to the program this morning from someone who's, you know, pretty recently graduated from high school. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Have a nice day.
All right. You do the same. And believe it or not, we are at the end of the program. How can people reach out to you guys and find out more about what you are doing and how we can put the village mentality into what you're doing, how people can assist? Briefly, like real brief, like 5 seconds.
I definitely would just direct everyone to our website, www.communitiesandschools.org, and then you can look for the Philly or Delaware affiliate, or you can even find us on Facebook. I know Communities and Schools of Delaware, and I believe Communities and Schools of Philadelphia is on Facebook. So check us out, and all the information should be there, and hopefully we'll hear from some of you guys, and we look forward to hearing and seeing you guys in the future.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for having us. This is a great pleasure to be able to talk about. You know, this is so fortunate. It's like a blessing to be able to serve in this work. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
Amen. Yes.
I just want to say one more thing to any more students who are listening. I just want to encourage all of you guys, whether if you're graduating soon, good luck, or if you are still in school, I just want to encourage all of you guys to stay in school. It's one of the best decisions and most rewarding decisions that you will ever make in your life. So,
absolutely. Thank you guys for the message. Thank you for your work. Much love going out to Marcos Mercado for helping bring you guys here to the show this morning.
Marcos.
Also, much love going out to our offsite producer, Donovan West, and our in-studio producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive day. Marriage Beyond the Vows is next. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's Inspiration Station.